Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
We continue our series today and really not going to share a message as much as we're going to go through three fighters that we're going to bring to you and show you and kind of highlight the life of moms. And before we get into that, though, I wanted to thank you again for last weekend. We had Ken Shamrock here and had a wonderful weekend. And then that night we had a men's event where he invited all the men out and we just said, we're gonna cook meat and just come on out. And Ken was here. We had 562 men show up last Sunday night. Yeah, it was amazing. We're going to do that again and get together. It was fantastic. And that was at the end of the night. I had to put my jacket on. I was about to get on my motorcycle. And it helped my shoulders feel a little better standing next to Ken. Because I had to watch him all weekend just when he was talking. He could barely bring his arms together, you know. I found myself just watching his arms all weekend. So we just had a great time. Men, thank you. On this Mother's Day, we just want to highlight some moms. And I've talked to my wife. You say, how in the world would I know what to say about moms? And the only thing I have any wisdom today is because I've been talking to my wife and getting insight and wisdom from her. And hopefully as a mom, you'll be encouraged. I also want to say that we're aware today that if you're a woman who has wanted to be a mom and not able at this time, we know that's not easy. And we're praying with you, and we love you. And the Lord will never hurt you. He'll encourage you. You may have lost a mom, or you may have lost a child. And I know that I'm aware as a pastor, you can imagine, that every single Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas or whatever the holiday is, there's sometimes unique pain that's involved. And I'm just so thankful. If that's you today, I'm just really glad that you came out and that you're here. And the Lord has strength for you, encouragement for you, and help for you too. And we just want you to know that we love you very much. Now, as I get into the first part of this, we all know you don't mess with a mom. Dude, you do not mess with a mom. There was a story in 2006 in Quebec where a mom fought off a polar bear until a hunter came along and finally shot that poor polar bear, you know. It really happened. You hear these stories of moms that have superhuman strength and lift cars off of their kids. It's never off of their husband. Have you ever noticed that? He'll be fine. There was a time when we joked earlier, but my wife is really kind and generous and loving and hospitable and has a real gift to make every person feel welcome and loved, and it's just really the way she is. And yet at one time we were in Houston, and we were living in Houston, and we had our son was about 2.5 years old, and we were at a park. You don't mess with mom. Our son, you know, he's a boy, and boys are boys. My son is now 12, and he came to me a couple years ago and said, Dad, I know why you like me so much. And I'm like, why is that? He said, because we're the only men in the house. I'm like, bump it up. You're right. He's like, one time he came to me, Dad, I'm so glad I'm not a girl. I don't ever have to have babies. I said, bump it up again. It's great being a guy. But when he was like 2.5 years old, he was in a sandbox and he went over to the other little boy who was there, and the other little boy was trying to make a little sandcastle, and our son went over there, and what do you think he did? Help out? No. He kicked it over, because that's what boys do. The mom looked at Stephanie, my wife, and said, your son is a brat. Oh, she went further. And he's always going to be a brat. And at that moment, usually I'm the one to respond, but I saw this anger wash over my wife. And the way, now how many of you know that men and women remember stories differently? Okay, for one, women, they remember stuff. Okay, that's what separates them, first of all, from men. And so we don't agree on how we remember this, because she didn't do anything to this woman, but I felt fear for this woman at that moment. You don't mess with mom, and you definitely don't say anything about her only begotten son. And I felt like my wife was gonna come after the woman, and I was literally talking her off the ledge. Usually it's the other way around, right? And I'm talking to her like, don't hurt her, it's okay. She might go to our church. We don't wanna be a bad witness to her. We did say that. You don't mess with mom. Moms have so many things going on. Moms have so many things going on. Men think in categories, and sometimes that category is, I'm not thinking anything at all. I love that category. It really exists. Women ask us, what are you thinking? And we're like, nothing. And that's what we mean. It's a blank void space, nothing. It's wonderful. Women, my experience in being married for 23 years is there's never a moment where a woman isn't thinking something. And usually multiple things at once. So what we want to do today is I'm just going to highlight three stories of three women who are in the fight of being a mom. And then we'll pull out some truths from that and talk about that. The first one is our friend from the church here. Her name is Dee Dee. And so I wanted you to hear her story. So check this out.
I'm Devonna Brooks. I grew up here in Cincinnati. I went to Cincinnati Public Schools and I attended Xavier University. Right after high school, I started to work at Cincinnati Children's, and that's where essentially I met my husband. Very early on, I knew that I wanted to be a mother. At a very young age, me and my youngest brother are 10 years apart. So very early on, I was the neighborhood babysitter. I think that's where it all started, being the neighborhood babysitter. And then I grew up, I think I want to have six kids. I was still like, we were trying, and it just didn't happen. When my daughter was 10 years old, I went to the doctor, and they was like, well, we won't call it a virus, but you're going to feel like this for the next 5 months. I was already 4 months pregnant, and in 5 months, my second child came. Started attending the Vineyard about 8 years ago, and prior to that, I was at a ministry to where I was a Sunday school teacher. Started inquiring about what the steps we should follow about becoming foster parents, and then my husband, he was not on board. He's just not that type. He went to his first class, his second class, and then after that, he started beating me to class. He loved it. And it just blossomed from there. And we have had the pleasure of inviting over 13 kids into our home. So my day starts a little early. It starts about 5:15 in the morning. And that's because my first foster has to be on the bus around 6 a.m. And then my daughter gets up about 6:15 to start her day. And then it just kind of starts every 30 minutes after that with each child getting up, getting ready for school. And then sometime around 8:30, when everybody is where they're supposed to be, that's when I finally get a breather. To see them to walk away believing and saying, oh my gosh, Miss Dee Dee, I'm gonna pray for you. Or Miss Dee Dee, can you continue to pray for me? Has been one of the best things that I've seen. My heart is with my family. My first ministry is to my family. I know now that God had called me to this purpose and his plan, and even though it was not mine, it was his all along. And the more that I continue to foster, the more that I continue to parent my own biological kids, I think he just as much as I'm a blessing to them, they all have been a blessing to me, and more, he is just showing himself true in them and me.
That's great. One of the things I heard there was, I wanted six kids. God has given her 13 kids. You can't, and her husband was nowhere to be found in the video. I don't know if you noticed that or not. You know, you can't write the end of the story with your family. Really, with any situation, I don't think it's healthy for us to write the end of the story. We have to trust God every step of the way, believing that he gives us those desires that we have and that he has the ability to answer those desires as we walk along. I so appreciate her story. We're going to pull some truths out of that, but I want to get to the next one. And I need to warn you that Mindy's story, it's a person that you'll recognize because she's on our worship team. She's also been faithfully serving in kids ministry and a great part of the family here. But she has a story that has some real sadness that she's walked through and is still, you know, kind of walking through now. And I'm so thankful that Mindy was willing to share her story with us. Check this out.
I'm Mindy Wade, and I grew up in Springfield, Ohio. I met John when I was 28. We were introduced actually by a cousin of his and a friend of mine, but then we went out to dinner, but he told me that he really, really, really liked me. And I'm just like, that's too many reallys. You can't say I'm many reallys. So I told him, I was like, you're nice, but I'm not looking for anything. Right now I'm in a good spot. And so he still called me the next day. And he was just like, hey, how are you doing? And actually from that day, we talked every day. And we were married a year afterwards. At the age of 32, I gave birth to Alex. Always wanted to be a mom, but never really thought that I would be a mom because I got married so late. Alex has always been he's been active. So he's been in basketball and football, and he was at a basketball practice, and that is where his dad got hit in the side of the head with a basketball. And he told one of the other dads that he had a headache and needed to go to the bathroom. And when he went to the bathroom, he didn't come back out. So one of the dads went in there and found him on the floor. He was in ICU actually for 2 weeks, and he would do better, and then he would regress, and then he would do better, and then he would regress. I was 10 minutes away from the hospital, and I remember getting a phone call from the facility that he was in saying, where are you at? And I'm like, oh, I'm right up the street from the hospital. They were like, oh, are you coming to the rehab place? And I'm like, is he home? You know, is he back there? You know, is he fine? You guys took him back there? And they were like, oh, they didn't call you? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, you're not at the hospital. What are you talking about? He didn't make it as I'm driving to the hospital. Being a mom to Alex has been amazing. Hard, especially alone, you know. I pray all the time, asking God to help me be the mom and the parent that I'm supposed to be for Alex, because he doesn't have a dad. You know, just making sure that he's trying to be the best Alex that he can be. I feel God every day in being a mom to Alex.
Show your appreciation to Mindy for sharing her story with us. And she's walking this out every day, trusting in the Lord. You heard her saying, I pray all the time. And you say, how in the world can you make it through that situation and walk through that situation? We walk through those things together. And you're not fighting alone. And I want to remind also families today that the idea of family has changed, and it's different in our culture. And I want to make sure that no family feels left out or less than. I'll remind you that 20% of households in Ohio are led by a single mom. And actually, by our own survey, we know that half of the moms in our church are not in your first family or first marriage. And we have all kinds of blended families together where it's his, hers, and ours, and it's very common. And I guess from a pastor's perspective, I just want to remind you that you're not alone. If you've gone through a divorce, and if you've got a different family, if you're a single mom or a single dad, or you're a blended family, and there's such an incredible, unique set of stresses on a blended family, that you're not alone in that. And don't think, I would hate for you to think of there's a certain ideal family. You know what there is? There is your family. And there is God working in you, in your family. And one of the challenges, as I was talking to my wife, and, you know, as a man, I'll admit to you, just between you and me, if you won't tell anybody else, sometimes in the course of our marriage, I've just been happy to go to work. Any men say amen to that? And it's like, I'm just going to go to work. Because I understand that the multifaceted fight that my wife is in is a fight that I'm really not equipped for. And that I know most of our moms not only fight that battle and going on with what's going on in the family, but then also go to work. See, as a mom and as a woman, you're never fighting just one battle. This is the challenge. And men, we like to take on kind of one battle at a time, but actually studies show that women, does this really require any research? Women are better multitaskers than men. Are we surprised? One reason is because men suck at that. Okay, and I'm glad you like that so much. And she's known that for a long time. She's just waiting for a man to admit it. And women have multiple things happening all at once. And I honestly don't even know how my wife has done all of these things. You've got kids, and then kids don't sleep, and they come into the room, and then they teethe, and then they're out of the house in school, and you're trying to maintain a household, and you've got a job, and then meanwhile, you're training a husband the whole way through. I don't know how in the world you do it all. This is where Jesus, when he would come into one town, he would always go to Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house, and he got a good relationship with them. And I think Martha and Mary's relationship is a great example of this. Martha, busy with all these things, and Mary is just kind of there with Jesus. You remember, this is one of my favorite stories, because Martha's going to yell into the Son of God and tell him what to do. Hey, Jesus, you know, tell my sister to come help. I got all these things going on. Luke 10, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which won't be taken away from her. So my wife and I were talking about what it takes to be a mom. One of the greatest challenges is just in getting alone and being with the Lord in the midst of all the busyness. And in seeing him work in your life through what seems like a mundane task. There's just all of these tasks in front of you. I want to encourage you today that being a mom is not about being perfect, but it's about relying on the perfect one. Walking with the Lord every single day, getting strength from him and wisdom from him. Relying on the one who is perfect. Also, to see the task that you're doing, I think many times this is the most difficult thing, and we've talked about just seeing what you're doing as a mom as the most important work in the world. The fight is to trust that you are doing the most important work in the world. And it's not easy, because when they're little and annoying, you know, you're having to imagine what this is going to play out and be like. There's grandparents here who are now raising your kids' kids, and the challenge of seeing the task at hand as critically important. All of us would agree that what a mom is doing, although our culture may not admit it, what moms are doing is the most important thing in our society. So it's the foundation of a healthy culture, and it's the most important work in the world. It's a calling from Almighty God, and so he's going to equip you to do that really well. And so it's extremely important. I think one of the challenges to see that as really important. This last story that we want to tell you, a story of a mom who had a son that she knew was called by God to do ministry, and yet the son went totally away from God. How do you as a parent walk through that when you see your children kind of going astray? And then she ended up being called to the college campus where her son was in school, and going through some really dark times. And the way that she walked through it, she's the best fighter that I know. Without her, I would not be here in more ways than one. Will you please welcome Sharon King, my mom. Hi.
Hi.
So I wanted my mom to share a few things, and if you're a guest or visitor here today, When I was in my early 20s, I suffered a massive nervous breakdown. Folks who go to church here have heard this story already, and I really put my mom and dad through hell. And they walked through it trusting God and with faith. And if it weren't for the prayers of this woman and the faith of this woman, I know I would not be here today. And so I'm so thankful. But before I ask you the questions about the hospital and that experience, the first question is this. What was it like when I was a little boy? This is just for fun.
How long do we have? It was fun. You were a fun kid. You were smart.
That's the right response. This is going good so far.
And you've always been the family entertainer, which I loved. And just genuine, and you're very sensitive. And when you were a little boy, you were very sensitive. Mm-hmm. One time, we went to school when you were probably 10, and the teacher said, well, he has one problem. All the kids tell him their troubles.
Future pastors of America.
And I said, okay, I'll talk to him about that. So I went home and said, Rob, the kids all tell you their troubles, and your teacher was worried about that. And he goes, oh, Mom. I just go. In other words, they tell me, I pray, it's done.
I know. Isn't that sweet? I don't even remember that story. We get a new story every service. It's great. That was great when I was 10. When I was 20, not so great. Because as I was on campus and living a life apart from God and trying to run from God, though I just couldn't, you know, it's really tough to run away from one who's omniscient and omnipotent and everywhere and made everything, and suffered this nervous breakdown. I end up roaming the streets in the middle of the winter, no coat, and arrested multiple times, finally put in a psychiatric hospital, and you guys get a phone call. They've heard that side of the story. We've never, in over 20 years, I don't think I've ever, like, interviewed you and had you share your part, have we?
No.
So, what was it like when you went to the hospital and saw me?
Well, it was devastating. I mean, his hair was greasy. It was about down to here. It's parted in the middle, very thin, very...
Even my hair got saved. Did you notice?
That's true, thank God. He was really unrecognizable. My sister was with me. She lived in Bloomington then, normal, and... she said, where is he? Well, there was only one guy in this room that we were looking into, and it was through a window that had, they were kind of like bars. And I said, well, you're looking at him. And she said, that's Rob. I said, that's Rob. So we went from there. It was, you know, as a mom, you're just, it's a dark, dark time. When you really can look at your child and not recognize him. So I hung on to the Lord. I mean, what else is there? If you have Jesus, you have everything.
Yeah, and you'd been praying for me for a lot of years in your Thursday night prayer group, and can you talk about that?
I had a group that came to the house every Thursday night, you know, other fighters, you know, for their kids, and it just seemed like every Thursday night, Rob just happened to come home. It was so strange, because I knew he didn't really want to be around Christians, especially around Christian women.
Bible study group.
Yeah. But they really upheld me, too, through prayer. You know, you need that support.
And you were praying for me a lot.
Oh, I prayed and prayed, and I would go to the altar every time I went to church. And, you know, after the service, I would just go pray. And one evening when I was praying, questioning the Lord, why won't he follow you? And, you know, I've done these things. I've done all I can do. And he said to me, get up. I've heard your prayers. You don't need to pray. any longer. And I sat straight up because I thought, God never tells you not to pray, ever.
He's like, you bothered me enough on this already.
Yes, there's a story about that in the Word. So I went to the bat, walked out of the church, and a man stopped me and said, don't you have a son? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, I've been praying for him. I was like, okay, that's great. And it happened then over and over and over. People would say, I'm praying for Rob. I've been praying for Rob. What? Just the Lord letting me know that he was taking care of it.
Finally, when I did come back to the Lord and went back to church, you can imagine how annoying it was for me to walk around the church and have everybody say, oh yeah, we know you. We've been praying for you. You're that wayward, crazy boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I spent some time in the hospital, and then the doctor said that I would spend time under their care basically for the rest of my life, was kind of their prognosis. And I don't know who that scared more, them or me, to be living with them. But I did go to the house, and there was this process that the Lord had me in of kind of restoring and healing. And what was that like when I came home?
Well, it was indescribable because you were home and you were there, but you weren't well. And I was clueless. I had no idea how to handle it. So naturally, we just did the same thing. We just kept praying and leaning on the Lord because we didn't know what to do. But it was so miraculous. He would give us things to do for you. And as we did them, you would respond. It really was a miracle. Like, Rob, you didn't want to shower when you got to the hospital.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do anything that they wanted him to, basically.
And the challenge of mental illness, too, is that you need to be on meds, but your mind is not right. So you're not going to take your meds, the very thing that you need the most. There was one night when I was in the hospital, I woke up the next morning and I felt different. I felt more like myself. I called my mom and I said, Mom, I feel more like myself today. And immediately she said, I mean, you tell your side of that story.
When I woke up that morning, as I was praying, the Lord said, I touched Rob's mind last night. I was like, thank you. And then he called me. And he said, I feel more like myself today, Mom.
And she immediately said, oh, yeah, that's because the Lord has touched your mind. I said, well, that's great. What took him so long? This is awesome. Oh. And I want to encourage you, there's a process.
Always.
The next day, you don't end up on a stage pastoring a church the next day. But if you'll stay faithful to the Lord, you'll be surrounded by people who are praying for you. Over the process of time, God just can bring you out and bring you into a new place. I also feel led to encourage you. If you're taking meds, here's how you take meds. You say, Father, I thank you that you are my Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't idolize these meds, but these meds are a gift from you. So I take them in Jesus' name, amen. With water, preferably. And in Jesus' name, you can take those. Over the process of time, we felt like we were really by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of counsel.
Totally.
We said we feel like we can get off of these meds, which was an interesting and faith-filled moment too, you know, because you're like, are we sure that we can, let's not go back, you know? But God was extremely faithful. What would you tell parents that are dealing with wayward kids, you know, that aren't serving God?
Number one, I would say don't blame yourself and just depend and rely on him and his promises. Get into the Word and let him speak to your heart because he will show you what to do, what not to do, how to understand where your child's at and truly lead you. And then act on what he says. Believe it. Believe it. I myself have never seen Rob as unsaved. He accepted the Lord when he was 10. And the Lord told me that he was going to preach the Word. And I hung on to that for 14 years because that's how long it took from the first until he preached the first time. Even though we went through all this, I knew that God is faithful, and I knew that I could depend on him, And so I did.
And now, who's the best preacher in the whole world?
Oh!
Dude, nobody loves you like your mom loves you, man.
That's right.
I get text messages every afternoon, no matter how bad the sermon was. It was better than the week before. I know it's not true, but tell me it anyway, Mom. So here's what we want to do. I thought it would be great if, and I so appreciate my mom being willing to come over and be with us this weekend at all of our services, but I thought it would be great is if she would just pray and pray for the mom. So I want to extend this not only to if you are a mom, but if you're trusting God, you want to be a mom and aren't yet. But if that's you, would you please stand? And what I want to do is just as we get ready to close, if your mom in the house, would you stand, be so bold? And then I'm going to have my mom pray for you before we go. We just wanted to honor you today. So the rest of us just bow our heads and close in a word of prayer.
Lord, we are so thankful to be moms. We thank you for the heart that you've given us as mothers. There's a special thing that happens to us when we become moms. And then it becomes our priority, Lord, to lead our children to you, Lord, that it might go from generation to generation, Lord, that children will be raised in Christ and really know who you are. So I pray for all these moms today, Lord. They're so precious to you. I pray that as they go through hard times, they'll sing that little song that we all know, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, and that we can hold on to you, Lord, and trust you with our children and with their future. As long as we rely on you, all is well. I pray blessings upon these moms today, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you help me in recognizing all the moms today? We're so thankful for you.
Mommy's mom. How precious.
Remind you to sign up for the Hunger Walk. There's also prayer and communion down front. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.